It's a Celtic preacher here, and it is podcast 218. And I think I'm going to call this talk, "It's Going to Take Some Time This Time." And I've just been thinking about sometimes it takes a long time for things to, I was going to say normalize, but I don't think things do often normalize. Sometimes it takes time for things to settle down. It takes time for us to come to terms with what has happened. Sometimes unwelcome changes or loss or grief or severe disappointment come to us, and we're so shaken by the whole experience that you can't quite see your way through at the front end. It's sort of a bewildering feeling. And times of transition, right? They can be exciting. They can be challenging. They can give you a rush of excitement and adrenaline, and that's great when that happens. But other times of transition, not so much. You know, you can feel deflated or disillusioned because the transition isn't quite what you thought it would be. That's where we find many, many of Jesus' disciples after what we have come to call Easter Sunday. And I mentioned last week that all these narratives, post-resurrection, there's always somebody in the story that's out of sorts of some kind. Remember last week we looked at Thomas? Well, this today we're going to be looking at Cleopas and his friend, or maybe his wife. We don't know, because the person isn't named. But a couple of disciples, this happens on Easter Sunday night. And like I've mentioned the last couple weeks, just because the grave's empty doesn't necessarily translate to good news for any of Jesus' students. And so by Easter Sunday night, their hopes are shattered. Their hopes are shattered. And Cleopas and his friend are on a journey. It's a 7-mile walk, actually, from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And so the setting is, Cleopas and his friend are on this walk, and a stranger joins them. Of course, the stranger is Jesus. Now, I'll tell you the front end of this story. It's not like a Hallmark movie that everything gets sorted out in the end and everything is the way that we hoped it would be. And that's not the way that the Jesus story works at all. And no doubt you've found that this isn't the way the story of your life works, right? No, this story of Jesus died, buried, and now resurrected takes an unexpected turn. And Cleopas and his friend are the ones, well, we're going to hear their side of the story today. But the theme is big changes. It could be an individual change. It could be a time of transition. It could be personal for you, like in the family or in the workplace. It could be bigger than that, you know, like a change in the consciousness of society, or changes in community, or changes in political settings, or changes in religious settings. The church, for example, is going through major upheaval and realignment post COVID. Mind you, for years, folk in the church have been saying it's high time things change. Well, it's changing, but you know, not always easy to see change, because I hate to see little churches close, you know? I hate to see that. I hate to see another one close their doors. And that's a whole other story, right? And I get it, you know. I mean, I do understand that sometimes things need to close so that other things can open. But anyway, I digress. Here we are on Easter Sunday night, and it's all about Cleopas and his friend, and they are just so, well, disappointed isn't a strong enough word, because they've actually lost hope. And they are confused. And of course, Jesus is dead, so they've got grief in the mix. And yeah, that's hard when you have all of these strong emotions in the mix. So that's the mood of this story. Easter Sunday afternoon, almost evening. We know up to this point, nobody really believes that the empty grave is good news. They're thinking the enemies have stolen the body. And Cleopas and his friend are on this walk. They're in a crisis, really. This is when the dream dies, that kind of moment. You know, we thought it was going to be this way, and it never will be, so the dream dies. This is when the future, as you envision it, is never really going to happen. It can't. So again, let me just add up front that, you know, this isn't one of these stories that, oh, their dream dies and then suddenly this new dream appears and it's so much better and they're so much happier. It takes a long time to see what God is up to in your life and in the world. So these times of transition can take a while. Let me just say that. Any time of spiritual growth, any time of emotional growth, don't you wish it was faster? Yeah, it just takes a while. Just seems to be the way it is. So the story is that these two students, disciples, are walking and they're discussing everything that has happened. And it's an intensive discussion. That's what the word means in the original language when it talks about they're discussing something. It's like this intense, this isn't a casual conversation. This is two people trying to come to terms with what's happened in their world. So they're examining the evidence. They're trying to get their heads around the awfulness of the situation. They're trying to sort things out. Now, grief is one thing, but if you add confusion and then you add fear, it's just all the more overwhelming. And it takes a while to try and get your head around this, we would say, right? They're trying to get their head around this whole thing. So there they are. They're walking on their way to Emmaus, which is, like I said, it's about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And the text tells us that suddenly Jesus appears. But they didn't recognize him. Now, we see this a lot in these Easter stories. Remember Mary in the garden Easter morning? Yeah. They didn't recognize him. And of course, we always want to ask why, right? We always want... I'm not sure that that's really difficult for me to comprehend at some level, because we often don't see the things that would be helpful to see, right? We can miss obvious things and then later go back and say, well, why didn't I see that? Why didn't I understand that situation? It seems so clear to me now. You know that kind of feeling? I think it's a common thing. So they're walking along, the stranger comes, they don't recognize him. Maybe he looks different, maybe they don't expect to see him, maybe they're so preoccupied with their troubles that they just can't receive anything. And that includes an encounter with Christ, the resurrected Christ. I mean, I think that we have capacity to really close ourselves down from anything. I really do. I mean, just even think about it in terms of trying to talk someone into, like if someone's discouraged And let's say you're the one that's trying to bring them around. It doesn't really matter what you say, does it? If somebody's made up their mind to be negative, it doesn't matter what proofs you bring to the situation to say, you know, things could get better, this could happen, that could happen. No. There's a way that we can not see what is helpful. I'm wondering if that's a little bit of what's happening here. So they're walking along the road, Jesus appears, they don't recognize him, and they start to speak to him. The stranger asks, what are you talking about? And surprisingly, they open up to him and they say, well, haven't you heard? I mean, they open up to the stranger and they tell him all about their hopes and dreams. And they say, you know, we're talking about Jesus. Haven't you heard? He's dead. The grave's empty. And we thought that he was the one. We thought that he was going to be the one that would come and save us and help us. But no, nothing. Haven't you heard this? And the stranger listens, and then he begins to teach using what's familiar to them. And what he uses is what we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scripture. Now, this wouldn't necessarily be the starting point in a conversation today with many people. But remember, these disciples are absolutely versed in Scripture and know it outside, inside, outside, backwards. They just know the Scripture very, very well. Now, they might have trouble applying it. They might have trouble understanding exactly what it means. But they have it all in there. They have a knowledge of the Hebrew Scripture. And so the stranger uses what's familiar to them. Now, I'm mentioning this because this is the way the Holy Spirit seems to work with us. It's if you know nothing of the Hebrew Scripture, it is less likely that this will be the access point for you, right? Because God uses something that we can relate to. God uses something that we understand at some level. And so the stranger starts to talk to them about their own Scripture. And he says, look, why are you so surprised? It's all here. It's all written down that the Messiah, this is the Jesus, the Christ, it's all written down that the Messiah had to suffer. This isn't some sort of haphazard, out of control event. It's all here in your Scripture about the death and about the resurrection. And then he goes on to explain even more to them about the Hebrew Scripture. And he says, you know, how foolish and how slow of heart to believe. Listen to what your prophet said. Remember what your prophet said. Was it not necessary that it would go this way? You've known this. You know your Scripture. The Messiah would suffer. And he began with Moses, one of the prophets, and he sort of took a long time just going through the whole story of Scripture, basically saying to them, look, this isn't something completely out of control here. It's written down. There's pointers along the way. He showed them the Scripture, and slowly they begin to piece it together and understand that this idea of death and resurrection was expected, right? So now remember, in order for this to work, you have to be familiar with the Hebrew Scripture. So it's not necessarily going to work with everyone today, but Jesus connects the dots for them. And he says, look at this. Let's start with Moses. Let's look at your history from the beginning. I know that you've been expecting the Messiah to come. I know you've been expecting the Messiah, the Christ, we would say, to come and save you and help you. It's all here, and suffering was always a part of the whole story. So the worst thing happening, disciples, doesn't stop God from working. So he's saying to them, disciples, you're thinking, because it didn't turn out the way that you expected, you're thinking that because Jesus died, it's all one big, horrible mess. That's not true, right? It's taken a turn that you forgot about, or you didn't expect, or you didn't know. One of these things. See, remember, they're thinking that Jesus would take control of their corrupt government. Remember, they thought that Jesus was going to be a political figure. And the stakes of Jesus are far higher than politics, far higher. Corrupt politics, that's what they're trying to sort out, corrupt politics. So they're thinking, what we need is a really good leader that can take us in a different direction. Well, Jesus is a lot more than that, right? So when Jesus dies, they don't have their leader anymore. So there's this huge gap between their expectations and their reality. Now, if they're going to learn how to follow, like Thomas did last week, if they're going to learn how to follow and trust, they're going to have to learn how to, it's not about letting, it's not always about letting go of our own agenda. I think maybe a better way of saying is, can we hold our agendas lightly? You know, can we get to the point where we don't have all our eggs in one basket all the time? So that when we have misunderstood the plan or God's way or our life or our reality, however you want to say it, that we can pivot a bit rather than fall into the darkest, deepest despair. If they're going to learn how to follow and trust, like Thomas, they have to become a little bit more comfortable with the fact that their life isn't going to necessarily go exactly the way that they hoped it would go, right? In other words, it doesn't always work out that way. And as they're walking on the road to Emmaus, the disciples start to soften a bit. Open up a bit, little by little. They start to open up to the reality that, okay, life isn't going to be what they hope for, but maybe, just maybe, there's something else that they didn't consider. Maybe there's something else. Maybe it doesn't have to be carved in stone the way that they kind of thought that they knew how it all should go, right? Such a common way to live for us. Such a common human thing to do. To have our plans in place, for our plans to not work out and for us to fall into despair. Such a common thing. And get distressed and confused. Which to a point is fine and it's natural, but I think it would be important to watch how long we stay in that space, because I think that you could stay there for a long, long, long time, as in years and years and years. Yeah. And, you know, and anything can cause these sorts of bewildering times, right? Maybe it's a family conflict. Maybe it's the state of the country. or the world. Or maybe your Emmaus walk, your time of trying to sort things out and wonder about things, maybe it's about a decision you need to make and you're just not sure. And you're just all unsettled about it. Or maybe like the disciples, you're going through a time of grief, right? And you just can't see your way ahead for some, you know, you just can't see the point of it all. Where is God in all of this? It's all too confusing. I think we can get stuck there for a long, long, long time. And fortunately, and I noticed this with Thomas, the disciple, and this is grace. Fortunately, God has a way of getting our attention, as Jesus did with Cleopas. But I think that we all have experienced spending too much time in confusion. So in the story, by the way, they're walking along and they're speaking to Jesus about all sorts of things. And Jesus opened up the scripture to them and starts to explain all sorts of, you know, the scripture basically saying that everything has gone exactly the way that it needed to go. They still don't totally understand. It dawns on them gradually. Then it's dinner time and Cleopas says, well, why don't you stay and eat with us? And he says, okay, I can stay and have dinner with you. And as they're having dinner, he takes bread and he breaks it. And there's something about that whole, this is worth its own reflection, by the way. I'm just finishing the story for you. But there was something about the way that he broke the bread, that they ate together. There was something familiar about the whole thing that they have this aha moment. And then he just disappears, really. And after they leave, Cleopas and his friend are saying, oh, that was him, wasn't it? We just encountered the resurrected Christ, didn't we? It's like, yeah, we did. We did. And you know, when I think about it, weren't our hearts just burning within us when we were on that walk? I mean, didn't we know that there was something different? Didn't we know that at some level, even though we were trying to sort things out and figure things out, but you know, when he joined us, oh, I don't know, our hearts were burning within us. It's just like that sense of, I'm totally confused, but I think God's here somehow helping me. There you go. There's a way of saying it. I don't really understand. I'm not really in a place that I want to be, but there's a piece of me. I'm thinking, were not our hearts burning within us when he was with us? It's like, I'm thinking that somewhere God's in this, helping me, bringing clarity, opening my eyes so that I can see what's what. Because remember, they were completely blind to Jesus and certainly completely blind to any hope for the future, right? Because they thought he was dead and that was the end of it. Yeah, so by the end of the day, things start to open up a bit for these disciples. Maybe there's another way. Maybe I wasn't thinking about this in the most helpful way. Can anybody relate to that? Maybe there's a possibility I haven't thought about. Maybe this change, well, could God bring something out of this somehow? Yeah. That whole pattern, by the way, of death and resurrection, which is about losing and grieving and then something new coming from that pattern, death, resurrection, it's all around us. It's something to be experienced. And I think we can experience it quite a lot. You know, a letting go, a dying of sorts, a releasing of sorts, and then something new emerging. I mean, just think about something in terms of something simple that's really common. Let's talk about the death of a relationship, say. Okay, you're in a relationship and for whatever reason, it's not working. And so it's over. And you're grieving, right? You are going through a time of loss. It's the death of something that you thought was going to last forever. And then in time, you can start to see, you know what? Maybe it's good that that ended, because I'm beginning to feel differently about life and about myself. And I think I've learned something from this. Maybe it's good that that relationship died so that something new can happen in the future. So when I'm talking about death and resurrection, you can see it in everything. It's not just in nature. You do see it in nature, right? You'll see it in springtime in this hemisphere. We see it all the time. Something that was gone, buried, is arising. Well, the same thing happens, I think, within us and within our hearts. But sometimes it takes a lot of time. Like I said at the beginning, sometimes it takes longer than we would like. And I think we have to just be kind to ourselves when it feels like it's too long. I think that we have to just be a little bit gentle and kind with ourselves, and, you know, not chastise ourselves for not getting over something quickly enough, or getting on with their lives and be able to leave the past behind and move on. Well, yeah, that walk from Emmaus, sometimes that 7 miles takes a long time, if you catch my meaning. Sometimes things just need a little bit more time. And you know what the promise is? When you're on that walk to Emmaus, look who comes to meet you. It's very similar to the story of Thomas last week. Look who comes. And you know, at first you might not recognize the stranger. Yeah, you might not recognize the stranger. You might think you're walking all by yourself. You might not recognize the stranger. So there's the heart cry. It's like, oh God, yes, open my eyes that I might see you. Open my eyes that I might see you, that I might be encouraged by you in your presence and this new thing that you're creating